If you are in the church, please be seated. It's a little strange to be preaching to you from my home. Just two words before I begin my sermon this morning. First of all, it pains me a little bit not to be with you in the sanctuary, though it is quite lovely to actually be with all of you online because there are 64 of us on the Zoom call right now. I've been stricken with a pretty severe bout of sciatica, which has rendered walking, the simple act of walking, extremely painful. So I'm kind of stuck here for a little while, and my doctors are in processes of testing and all that kind of stuff. So more answers to come, and your prayers are appreciated. Although I'm trying to relish being a couch potato when ordering my husband around at will. I'm kidding. But so thank you for your prayers on that. And secondly, today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord, which means that I'm going to talk about water. And as a native Philadelphian, if I slip into my native Philadelphia accent and talk about water, please don't let it distract you from the larger gospel message. I've been told is problematic, so I apologize in advance. But water. We got to talk about water. Water is something that we can't live without, right? I mean, basic survival skills, first of all, teach us that after air and shelter, water is the most important thing that a human needs to survive. We know this from elementary school. Water is life-giving, it is cleansing and refreshing and sustaining. I've been drinking a lot of it with the painkillers my doctors have me on right now. We drink water, we bathe in it, we swim in it. Water is beautiful. The still waters of a mountain lake reflecting the beauty of the nature around and above, the rushing roar of a waterfall, the lull of a babbling brook, the crash of ocean waves all offer awe-inspiring, natural, God-given beauty. Water is also destructive. It can wash away everything from a speck of dirt to an entire town. It can batter and break the sides of buildings, flood basements and foundations. As climate change happens in real time, we New Yorkers witnessed the destructive and fatal waters of Hurricane Ida just a few months ago. Water can be dangerous. Maybe you have learned the hard way, like I did when I was a kid, never to stand with your back to the ocean. Water is powerful. It's a force to be reckoned with. And as Christians, this powerful element unites us. It makes us one family. We come to the waters of baptism to be reborn, to be made anew, to emerge from these waters alive in a new way. We come to the waters of baptism because, as followers of Jesus, we follow in his footsteps, even to the Jordan. And today, Catherine, Jackson, and Kane, with the support and love and prayers of their family and friends and of this church community, will take those steps and will be born anew as members of God's family. Christians, for 2,000 years, have been born anew in the waters of baptism. As our first words of worship stated today, there is one body and one spirit. One hope in God's call to us, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We are united to every follower of Jesus in these waters, made one family, one body in Christ. The waters of baptism are miraculous in this way. And here's the thing I want to be clear about. Baptism is not an eternal insurance policy or a ritual for institutional affiliation. We don't get baptized to avoid hell or to get our names on the books as a practicing Episcopalian. Baptism is entrance into the body of Christ. It's an awakening to a belonging, an adoption into the family of God, and it's a radical new way of love. The waters of baptism unite us not only to those around us now, to those that we know, but also those that we'll never meet. They connect us to a family that extends beyond, far beyond, this time and place. Baptism is more than membership or even belonging. It brings with it a birthright, with both the responsibility and the privilege that comes with a family name. Water is powerful. The waters of baptism wash away our wandering lost selves, and like an ocean on a hot summer day, they refresh all who gather in its waves. In our baptismal vows, we say that we strive for justice and peace, respect the dignity of every human being, love our neighbor as ourselves. In our baptism, we are part of a community of people who are not only changed, but who are charged with changing the world. As members of God's family, we bear the family name of love. And because of our baptism, we are meant to live up to that family name. But let's be real for a moment. This Christian family is not a utopian, kumbaya, feel-good round of hugs. Whether that is this St. Michael's family, the family of the Episcopal Church, or zooming out even more, the family of Christians of all stripes everywhere. This Christian family is much more, dare I say, like the families we come from, the families we were born or adopted into, some people we love, some people we have to love, some people we will always struggle to love, and always at least one crazy drunk uncle. Members of this family are not just fellow Episcopalians, but Bible Belt Baptists, dreadlock and Birkenstock wearing hippies, Pentecostals speaking in tongues. Members of this family are a wide array of people who are both similar and very different from you. People who, like your racist uncle at the Thanksgiving table, sometimes make you scratch your head and wonder, how on earth could I be related to these people? But water is powerful, and the waters of baptism are stronger than the dividing lines that we create. In today's gospel, John the Baptist is telling the expectant people about Jesus. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John is speaking to a crowd that's filled with expectation, who have burning questions about the Messiah, who it is that will save them. And truth be told, we kind of know what that's like. We might not be waiting for a Messiah, but certainly we know the longing for a divine balancing of the scales, for the righteous to get their just reward and the evildoers to get their just punishment, for the good to be distinguished from the bad, the wheat to be separated from the chaff. Even though we are not fire and brimstone Christians, we must admit that there is some reassurance, right, in hearing that the righteous and the unrighteous, the wheat and the chaff, don't end up in the same place. But the difficult part of this scripture is not hearing that Jesus will separate the wheat from the chaff, but that it is his business, not ours, to do the separating. It is a very human impulse to both see and seek these distinctions in the world around us. Who's good, who's not, who's in and who's out, who is wheat and who is chaff. But here's the thing, wheat and chaff come from the same plant. The chaff is simply the hard shell around the grain that must be removed before the grain can be useful. The waters of baptism are not about marking who's in and who's out. The waters of baptism wash away the chaff around each of us so that we can grow as fruitful and useful members of God's family of love, so that we can be the body of Christ. Water is powerful. And the waters of baptism create a community that is powerful. Recently, I was talking with a friend who, until a few years ago, was a rather content atheist, despite being a churchgoer her whole life. Church for her provided more of a cultural and social experience and provided little spiritual value. And a few years ago, her priest approached her and asked her if she would teach Sunday school. And being a teacher by trade and a helpful person by nature, she agreed. And this began a process of learning and asking questions that she had never thought to ask before about doctrine and theology and biblical studies. And I watched her faith in God grow slowly but strongly over time. But what was so striking in our conversation was what she said actually helped her become a person of faith. She said, it wasn't all the stuff that I learned. I mean, those were interesting and helpful. But for me, it was the community and how much they all believed in God, some of them, despite devastating life circumstances, that made God real to me. I saw how they lived by faith, and I didn't feel alone. She saw the wheat in action. She experienced the baptized body of Christ. Friends, water is powerful, life-giving, sustaining, destructive, and necessary. The waters of baptism, too, are all of those things. Baptism creates a powerful community, not only of changed people, but people charged with changing the world, one person at a time. In the waters of baptism, God washes away the chaff of what weighs us down and holds us back and gives us new life as members of God's great family of love, born out of powerful waters with the power to change the world. This is God's family, the family of love. And as our presiding bishop says, may we live up to the loving, liberating, and life-giving family name. Amen.